Lowe's knows how to help you save this 4th of July. Upgrade your laundry routine with the new and exclusive first-of-its-kind all-in-one vented laundry combo. Wash and dry in just 68 minutes. Save up to 40% on select major appliances. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Shop Samsung this July 4th at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It is Pro Football Today. Sports Grid is live on the FanDuel set out here at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. I'm Kevin Walsh. That is Joe Lisi. That is Donnie Wrightside. And that is Ben Stevens. As we get set to break down Super Bowl 58, the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs are no strangers to this game, and that is in large part due to having the best quarterback in football, Patrick Mahomes, who we will put our focus on to open up today's show. Mahomes is already a two-time Super Bowl MVP. He has been the driving force of this team since he became their starter. But for Pat, it's been a down year. His lowest yards per pass attempt since becoming the Chiefs' lead man, and his worst touchdown-to-interception ratio. But, as all the greats do, Ben, when they get to the postseason, things tend to look a little bit up, and that's been the case for 15.
The most significant stages demand the most impressive results, and that's what we've seen out of Patrick Mahomes here during this 2023 NFL postseason run. You see the pedigree in the playoffs. 17 career starts throughout his postseason campaign as Kansas City's starting quarterback. Kev, only three losses, and as an underdog, where he enters Super Bowl 58 DRS, 9-3 straight up, 10-1-1 against the spread. I'm hearing on the streets of Las Vegas, the people say, Donnie, you can't bet against Patrick Mahomes.
And I think those people might be correct. Now, whether or not you win money on that projection, we're not going to know about that. But Patrick Mahomes, certainly a big play quarterback, no doubt about it. When the biggest moments are there, he absolutely shines. There is a quarterbacking advantage here for the Kansas City Chiefs over the San Francisco 49ers. And Joe, I don't know. Maybe it's Brock Purdy's day to outshine Mahomes. That's going to be a tall task.
Yeah, it's possible. They're doing it with defense. And you talk about Patrick Mahomes right now, four 300-yard games, Kev, compared to last year, 10 games over 300. That defense needs to step up for San Francisco.
It certainly does. We have our radio audience with us. We're all now nice and cozy here on Pro Football Today, including SiriusXM Channel 159. And I think it is appropriate, again, it's not just the wins, 4,800 passing yards, 39-8. That is 17. I mean, that's a full season of work that Mahomes has already had so far in his young career. The opportunity to put up a third Super Bowl trophy, potentially a third Super Bowl MVP. It is nothing short of astonishing, and it is why people, as you mentioned, Donnie, are so concerned about potentially betting against Patrick Mahomes, because people feel that not just the best quarterback in the league is Pat, there's a lot of people who believe he is already the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
I mean, you could be right already. Now, we usually grade it by hardware, right? And they even ask the question to Patrick Mahomes when we're talking about, like, you know, where do you stand on that pantheon of greatness? He goes, I'm not even halfway there, even if I win this football game, which is a credit to him because he probably has another 10 to 15 years to go. And playing on the biggest stage, this is where you cement yourself. Kevin, we're both Eagles fans. But when you take a look at last year's Super Bowl, he goes into the locker room with a high ankle sprain, comes out, and you would not have known that. Scrambling, making the plays he needed, a Super Bowl champion, a true champion on the biggest stage. I'm looking forward to see how well he plays in this game, how many yards he can pick up. But, yeah. Joe, as I take a look at it, a fantastic quarterback nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. They're averaging 218 passing yards per game. They're doing it with Isaiah Pacheco on a rushing attack, Ben, that's averaging a 110 on the ground. They've stayed in manageable third down situations, and we know that his security blanket throughout the playoffs has been Travis Kelce, 31 receptions, over 260 receiving yards, three touchdowns. San Francisco is going to have to take him away if you want to limit Pat Mahomes in this ballgame.
The most prolific postseason connection between a quarterback and a receiver, that is Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Now 17 touchdowns between the pair, Kev. But we talked about Isaiah Pacheco on the ground. We talked about the right arm of Patrick Mahomes. How about his legs? In every Super Bowl, he has had at least 29 rushing yards. He had a touchdown against San Francisco in Super Bowl 54, finding pay dirt with his legs. Last year, Kev, 44 big rushing yards against the Philadelphia Eagles. His rushing yards prop for Super Bowl 58, 25 and a hook.
And I know you're going over, and I am as well. I think Mahomes has an opportunity here to hit all of those alt markets, 40-plus, 50-plus. He did it, hit 40-plus against Miami on just two runs. Almost maybe the most slanderous thing he did was not go over these numbers against Buffalo and Baltimore. But that is key for me as well, guys, because Mahomes at no point in this season has missed that 25-and-a-half marker in consecutive games this year, nor in his playoff career, Joe. We know he is the definition of a big game runner. Lamar always runs. Josh Allen always runs. Mahomes gets to the playoffs and he's like, oh yeah, fellas, I can do that too.
And San Francisco's defense might sort of force him into that with man-to-man coverage. They like to lock down the outside, especially in third down situations. If Pat Mahomes has an opportunity to tuck in and run, he's going to take that chance. He did have 40 yards against the Miami Dolphins, a little bit limited against Buffalo, but in this ball game with all the chips in the middle of the table, I expect him to take this ball game over, Donnie.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it as well. And also, when we take a look at those playoff scenarios that we had, front running against the Dolphins, front running against the Buffalo Bills, front running again against the Baltimore Ravens. Can the 49ers flip that script on Patrick Mahomes? Because as we talk about it, this isn't an undefeated team that's coming into the playoffs here, guys. They have six losses on the season, and we've seen it in the past. If you have a devastating pass rush, which the 49ers can have, Ben, you can put pressure on Mahomes, and that makes it a completely different story.
We showed the postseason stats. You see the pedigree for Patrick Mahomes, but this regular season, 27 touchdowns to 14 interceptions, Donnie. In the postseason, though, turnover-free football, clean. Four touchdowns, zero interceptions. Has not put the football on the turf either. That's going to be a huge key. Can San Francisco's defense generate a turnover to stay in front? Kev, I know you think the 49ers, at a certain point in Super Bowl 58, will be up by double digits.
Absolutely, and I think to some degree, even people who are on the Chiefs think that. Yeah. They reference Kyle's struggles in the big game. They mentioned Mahomes' ability as a comeback quarterback. We haven't seen that ability this season. And it's not because, as you said, they're not undefeated. Yeah. It's because when they were down in the big moments, something always went wrong. Yeah. Whether that was MVS dropping a pass, whether that was Kadarius Toney possibly being offside, the first offensive offsides people act like they've ever seen in NFL history. But we talk sometimes, man, if you tell me the result of a market, maybe I'll then be able to figure out the result of a game. The interception price on Patrick Mahomes, minus 115 to the yes, minus 105 to the no, Ben. Can Mahomes play clean? This Niners defense is opportunistic. We saw them turn Jordan Love over twice. Not as fortunate against Jared Goff. That is obviously key.
One of the big things for San Francisco, their linebacking core, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner, as good as you will find around the National Football League. And we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes and his top target, Travis Kelce, in our next segment, Kev. How does that linebacking duo for San Francisco defend what we already said is the best playoff connection between quarterback and receiver we have ever seen in National Football League history? Last night, opening night of Super Bowl week here in Las Vegas, they asked Mahomes, do you feel like an underdog? And he goes, although we're getting 2.5 points, I don't know if he referenced the actual spread, they never feel like an underdog in Kansas City.
I just needed that. That's just what I need.
Yeah. Oh, it's early, but we're ready.
Oh, now that is exciting. I didn't know that. And I feel good about it. But we will dive into Travis Kelce a little bit more right here on Pro Football Today next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Set out in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're breaking down Super Bowl 58. Niners, Chiefs, Kevin Walsh, Ben Stevens, Donnie Wrightside, and Joe Lisi. And we lock in now on Travis Kelce. The idea around Patrick Mahomes is he is the end-all, be-all. And I get it. I do think at times during his career, we haven't really acknowledged that Andy Reid is maybe the best offensive mind in the history of this league. He had Tyreek Hill, who is perhaps the biggest mismatch at the wide receiver position we've seen since Randy Moss. And for a lot of people, the greatest tight end to ever play this game is still right now with Kansas City wearing number 87. And Pat Mahomes is the favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win Super Bowl MVP at plus 140. But the 17-1 number on Travis Kelce, I do think is worth mentioning. If you look through the games both against Buffalo and Baltimore, had they handed out an MVP award at the end of those games, I tend to think Travis's argument is pretty strong. 11 grabs in that AFC Championship game, a touchdown, and went over 100 yards. Pat only threw the one touchdown pass. Against Buffalo, 5 catches, 70-plus yards, 2 touchdowns. Pat only threw the 2 touchdown passes, Ben. I know often the idea, especially with a quarterback of this level, you go, well, if his top guy's going to have a good game, the quarterback's game's going to be too good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the last two games I've watched, Travis would be more deserving, at least as deserving as Pat to win the MVP.
It is a narrative award, and I still think what you would have to do to be a non-quarterback to take it from your QB with even all the stats you put up would have to be astronomical. But how about not just 11 receptions in that AFC title game against Baltimore, a catch on every single target, 11 targets for Travis Kelce, 11 grabs, 116 yards, and a touchdown. And Lisey, there is actual markets out there for Super Bowl 58 that you can bet. Is Travis going to make that 2 consecutive games? Every pass that Patrick Mahomes throws his way, he will end up with a grab. For Travis Kelce to catch every single pass on every one of his targets on Super Bowl Sunday against San Francisco, a plus 950 number. Can we get a little tempo with some plus money?
Not a bad price. I will say this. In order to steal the hardware from Pat Mahomes, he's going to need a dynamic effort. Maybe 7 receptions, a buck 49, like he did in terms of the middle of the regular season. There was a 3 game stint against teams like Minnesota and the Chargers where he did catch 30 passes for over 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, really spearheaded that offense. He was the main target, but after that, the following 2 games, guys, only 8 receptions, 70 yards, a significant drop-off. The consistency was not there, Dunny, from week to week. He's done it in the playoffs. He's going to need to do it against this dynamic San Francisco defense. I don't know. I would bet his under in terms of this total if you're taking San Francisco in the ballgame.
But here's what we look at, too. The perfect storm maybe for Kansas City to not have Patrick Mahomes win an MVP in the Super Bowl. Oh, Donnie, you're crazy. If they win, he's going to get it. But if we're not talking about a dynamic offense, and there's really 2 options, and the focus is going to be on Travis Kelce, let's say Kelce catches 7 balls, Rashee Rice catches 6 balls, and Mahomes only throws for, let's just say, 220 yards. We're not talking about the old KC offense. Let's spread it around multiple guys at 85 yards plus for touchdowns. You're looking at 2 guys right now. So if Mahomes has a 220 day and 2 touchdowns, that's not tremendous. And if you have one of those wide receivers, Endor Kelce, at a tight end position where he catches a touchdown pass and maybe 90 or 110 yards out of that 220, he's going to get the focus here. But also, let's focus on the coaching staff here for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Andy Reid here. Going to the Baltimore game. Fantastic defense, guys, as we take a look, right? Say, well, look, they're just going to focus and take away Travis Kelce. 11 targets, 11 catches. Andy Reid schemes his open. You can double cover him that entire game, and he's going to be open here, and that helps Kelce in this
market. I mentioned Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, probably one of the best linebacking duos in the National Football League. If they're number 1 or number 2, the interchangeable side is Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith for Baltimore, and yet Travis Kelce still had a huge day in the AFC Championship. And, Kev, throughout this postseason run, now 3 receiving touchdowns for Travis Kelce, 2 in the divisional round against Buffalo, 1 a couple of weeks ago against the Ravens. We hadn't seen him score prior to the divisional round since the end of November, and that was a single touchdown for the first time since October. Some of the shine was off Travis Kelce and maybe on the box for who was supporting Travis Kelce throughout this NFL regular season. He has stepped it up once again here in the playoffs, at least 70 yards in all 3 of these postseason matchups for Kansas City on their way to their 4th Super Bowl appearance in the last 5 years.
So I want to touch on that in a moment. I will just quickly say, Baltimore's offensive game plan was so bad. Maybe the defensive game plan is Travis open every time. And they just kept it consistent throughout.
Todd Monken calling the defense, too?
I don't know. It could very well. I think Steve Spags was calling both defenses, but he was leaving it open for KC. You allude to Taylor Swift.
Did I?
Well, yes, you did.
Oh, okay.
All right. And But it's relevant. I know there are some who turn these games, oh, why is she on the TV? Relax, okay? She's a superstar. She should be on the TV more is my take. That's not the point. Here's the thing. Mahomes is not, at this moment, the most popular player on this team.
Oh.
It's not even arguable. Right. Because not only, and Taylor's obviously the reason that the Travis Kelce superstardom has taken off, but also, now that Jason Kelce was unfortunately bounced in the first round of these playoffs, he's showing up everywhere. Yesterday at media night, they had the big, you know, Kelce cutout of Jason Kelce with the shirt off. We know he's going to be at the game. When they cut to the box, they'll spend time cutting to the both of them.
Yeah.
I bring that up for this reason. When we talk about Super Bowl MVP, typically we are saying, well, the star of the show is Pat. He is obviously their engine. He is their most important player. But Donnie, the most popular player on Kansas City is Travis Kelce.
Maybe that takes a little bit away from Patrick Mahomes, which is good at this point, so he can focus more on the football game and all those electric sides. By the way, also, who's paying for the suite at the Super Bowl this week?
Big money.
I mean, is it the Kelce family?
Roger.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it will be interesting. And also, by the way, flying in, only a couple hours to see it, how exciting that's going to be, Kevin. I mean, come on. TV time for, you know, who's going to get more TV time action?
I think there should be a swift cast, quite frankly.
You like karma? You like karma?
Mastermind, fearless. Wow. We're playing all the hits on the way out.
We got to have a separate camera on Super Bowl Sunday. Somebody's got to do it. Lisa, come on, in the corner.
Yeah,
line it up. Going over the fence.
Why not?
Come on.
I got girls.
Yeah.
That's it. I listen to Taylor Swift. I will say this. If Kelce's going to win the MVP, got to be a lower scoring game. And it has to go in terms of the MO of what we saw with Kansas City right now in terms of the playoffs. 17-10, 21-17 in terms of that. Pat Mahomes has a pedestrian, maybe a buck 92 and one touchdown, and it is to Kelce. Mm-hmm. Much like what we saw in terms of the Super Bowl with the Rams and Bengals with Cooper Kupp overshadowing Matt Stafford in terms of that ball game. I don't believe if this game is a shootout, goes through the total, 47.5, Kelce does have a good day, but Mahomes lights it up for 275 or 300. Kelce has enough to potentially overtake Mahomes in terms of that situation. It's a good bet. I mean, don't get me wrong. For the value, very good bet, but you need a lower scoring game.
I'll tell you one thing that really stood out to me when I was going through what Travis has done in this postseason. So he's averaging about 90 yards a game. 15 of those are coming in the second half on a per-game basis.
Yeah.
It is all early.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's defenses adjusting or the idea that Kansas City, by the time they get to the second half, goes back to what we've seen them be all year long. The Andy script is gone, and it's, oh, no, nobody can get open, nobody can catch the football. This is all a disaster, Ben.
It's really interesting when you think about it, and that's where the Isaiah Pacheco numbers come into play. 67.5 on the ground, the rushing attempts prop for Super Bowl 58 as well, but it's the early script where obviously Travis Kelce is the most important piece of that Kansas City offense. Let me ask you this quickly before we come up on the break. If you're looking at Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, the two mainstays of that Chiefs offense, and you want to take their overs, does that lead to the over of 47.5, or can it still be a low-scoring game as we have seen?
I think it's hard to say that just because Travis breaks out means it's going to be high-scoring. When the AFC title game, he had 100 yards, 11 grabs, and the game had 27 points in it. I do think so much of this total will probably be ending up dictated by what that San Francisco offense is capable of in this game. And we will get to the Niners offense in a bit here, but we have to talk about these other pass catchers for KC. Rashee Rice obviously has emerged as wide receiver one, but you talk about one play plays. Basically, everybody else could hit their prop if they're targeted just once. And we'll break those down next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the FanDuel set, Kevin Walsh, Ben Stevens, Donnie Wrightside, and Joe Lisi. Now, DRS, is it true that a couple of times this Chiefs team has reached out to you, Andy and you, and go back a ways away, and they're like, look, wide receiver room, little leaky here. Could you still step up, run a couple routes?
I think I can. I mean, outside of, you know, Rasheed Rice at wide receiver, I mean, it's a bargain basement. You could probably hang me at 11 and a half here, by the way, for the Super Bowl. Give me that. Got one good route left in me. Look, alt me up to 12 and a half for me. That's the way to do it.
How many of those three-yard outs do you think you could hit against the Niners?
Against the Eagles last year in the Super Bowl, I mean, I could have ran those routes in the red zone for touchdowns. Come on now.
That was... I'm not over it.
Uncovered? Leave me uncovered. I'll make some plays. Trust
the Eagles' defensive game plan all year. Uncovered. All right. So we'll start with Rasheed Rice isolated because he doesn't deserve to be grouped in with the rest of this crew. 67.5 mm-hmm. is the receiving yards number, Joe. And we obviously just talked a lot about Kelce. So Kelce is the main guy, but there was one, if not two, games in this postseason where Rice had the higher receiving yards prop.
Yeah, it was against Miami, right? Eight receptions, 140, had the touchdown. Game flow is going to dictate how this prop plays out, because if you're playing Kansas City right now, he might get there, but it's probably going to be an under ball game. If you're back in San Francisco and you think Brock Purdy and that offense can push tempo and put the pressure on Pat Mahomes to match them score for score, then most likely he can blow through that number. You know that San Francisco is going to try to at least contain Travis Kelce, maybe limit him in terms of this offense, Donnie. So that's why the secondary receiver, like on the pure number one in regards to Rasheed Rice, is a good option over 67.5.
And by the way, the trust factor, right? Doesn't it all come down to that? Who's he throw the football when he needs to get first downs in big moments here? Obviously, we saw Valdez-Scantling catch a big one in that game, but he's basically a 2 or 3 catch guy if he's lucky per game. Rasheed Rice, by the way, I did take over 59.5 in that last game against the Baltimore Ravens. If you would have told me he's going to catch 8 passes once he get another 140 game, ends up with like mid-40s in that, so it's a tough draw, but he does like to target Rasheed Rice, and if that's the guy you're looking forward to, because the Chiefs really are two guys in the passing game. That's Kelce and that's Rasheed Rice. The question is, it's hard to say because the guy's already rookie year all the way through. You played in divisional round, AFC championship round, and now into the Super Bowl, right? I don't know if the stage is going to be too big, but sometimes that factors in. He's never been on the stage. Kelce's been on the stage. But I think I am trusting Rasheed Rice because why? There are no other options here, it feels like, Ben.
A really big game to start off this postseason, his playoff debut against the Miami Dolphins. 8 grabs, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Is any time TD Price for Super Bowl Sunday against San Francisco is +140. And that was the step throughout this season as the Chiefs have focused on how do they develop this wide receiver room behind Travis Kelce. They needed the rookie out of SMU, Rasheed Rice, to be that guy. And so far, Donnie, he has. What is so interesting, Kev, was that change in the prop market entering the division around in Western New York. Rasheed Rice had the higher receiving yards prop over Travis Kelce. That was the first time I had ever seen that with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was in the mid-60s. I think 65.5 was his closing number. Trav was only at 60 and a hook. Of course, it was Travis Kelce, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns against Buffalo, and then entering that AFC championship game, kind of restoring that normal order. Travis Kelce, the higher prop of the two. That's the really interesting thing, though. Only a 3-yard distinction right now with Trav at 70.5 entering Super Bowl 58 and Rasheed Rice, like you mentioned, 67.
I think a big part of it, though, is Donnie mentions that this workload for Rasheed Rice seems to be a certainty.
Yeah.
Now, look, you know, 8 grabs and not being able to get to a prop is always difficult there. And he is an explosive player, right? So you would expect that would be plenty. It was to credit to a Baltimore defense that stepped up as the game went on. But also, if you then move off of Rasheed Rice, who I think is good value to find a touchdown, you move off of Travis Kelce. To some degree, Lisi, this team is built for you. I mean, let's be honest here. We've done Pro Football Today all year with him. Obviously, you've done countless shows with Joe. You throw him the off-the-beaten-path wide receiver.
Beautiful.
And for some reason, he's already bet him up 60-plus.
Yeah.
Lisi, it's the whole wide receiver core for this Chiefs team.
It's possible that it's a wide receiver, or is it a running back in terms of Jerick McKinnon?
That's off the beaten path. Guy hasn't played since November.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, they like to utilize McKinnon in regards to the screen attack, the short checkdowns, especially if Pacheco is a little bit banged up. Maybe to Donnie's point, not 100% in terms of this ballgame. Again, they're going to have to take some deep shots to loosen up San Francisco in terms of the front seven, get those linebackers thinking pass, and that could open up Pacheco later in terms of this ballgame. McKinnon's a nice option. You can preserve Isaiah Pacheco as it relates to the rushing attack. If we're talking wide receivers, I mean, I do like Mecole Hardman because of the speed aspect.
I do
because you think about what they had, Mecole or even Shaky. I think
after his performance in the division round against Buffalo,
so
two touches, two fumbles. I don't think it's going to be that. Now, here's my question. Is he going to start walking around Radio Row on the strip here in Las Vegas, maybe the Excalibur? McKinnon, anybody? McKinnon?
He goes
McKinnon's
the other way.
Not a bad option, I'm telling you.
He would never. No, that's why he keeps screaming Pacheco.
Yeah, Pacheco.
The vibes. So, the McKinnon, I don't think he has receiving yards props up yet.
Not posted.
The expectation, though, Ben, is when we get to Saturday or Sunday, any of these other guys will get yardage numbers, or we're going to have to stick to touchdown market?
I believe that he will have a prop out. I think later in this week. Yesterday was opening night here for the media during Super Bowl week in Las Vegas. That's just kind of the fun questions. I think as they actually start to do their game week preparations, which generally starts around Wednesday for any given Sunday throughout the NFL, we will start to get further practice reports about his actual availability for Super Bowl 58. I do expect there to be a number, probably actually more receiving than rushing, for Jerick McKinnon on Sunday.
I'll tell you this.
Could be 10 and a half.
So that's the tough spot for the book. And sometimes this happens where they get put in a disadvantageous position. And Jerick McKinnon has not played football in a while now. They cannot hang his typical numbers of 17 and a half, 21 and a half, because we don't know what the workload's going to be. But Donnie, a guy like McKinnon, because I know this has always been the case with these type of guys, throw him the ball twice and I'll get through 7.5 yards. I think that sounds like the range.
Yeah, it does sound like the range, but also leaving one guy out, and I know he signed for decent money with Kansas City, a guy that can get deep. 19 and a half, you know who that is? That's MVS, Valdez-Scantling.
Yeah.
You saw him with that big play to seal that game with Baltimore. It's one of those where you look at his props and say, the paycheck doesn't match up with the production by any means. But maybe he has that trust level. And also, it comes into the handicap, guys, right? You're starting to take a look and say, what's the game script going to be? I'm hoping Kansas City is down because it means more passing and more options here for Patrick Mahomes. 19 and a half, or it actually says 25 and a half as his receiving yards.
You're getting a good number.
Yeah, I thought it was 19 and a half, but let's go. Let's just say 25 and a half.
Yeah.
That's two catches for him, right? He's not 7 yard outs. He's deep routes here. So if he finds his way to get open, and let's just say the game plan as your structure for San Francisco, let's take away Kelsey, let's take away Rice. Somebody has to be open. And to Joe's point here, it's not 50 yards. It's basically, hey, can I get two catches in this game out of MVS?
Yeah, it's incredible. Justin Watson's another look. He goes to him in terms of third down type of situations. That has been the problem with Kansas City, right? They're a completely different offense this year than they were in years past. It's been a slow progression since Tyreek Hill has left that offense, right? When you have a playmaker that runs a 4-2, 4-3, double teams, that leaves open everybody else, and that's why other players were able to step up. And but when I look at this offense right now, whether it's Rice, whether it's Kelsey, they need both of those guys to get through their numbers because that'll take the pressure off the offensive line and the rushing attack.
It's not even math. It's not even a real handicap or a study. Just look at the numbers we're talking about. 70.5 for Travis Kelsey, 67.5 for Rashee Rice, and then you drop all the way off to 25 on a hook for Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You've got Noah Gray with an 11.5. You've got Justin Watson down in the low teens as well. It's almost comical when you look at over a 40-yard drop-off to what is their second wide receiving option in Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but it speaks to this Chiefs team and how they've realized throughout this season, Kev, in my estimation, listen, we're a defensive-first team. We're going to trust Isaiah Pacheco. We don't have the explosive wide receiver room that we once did or when we made our previous three trips to a Super Bowl, unlike here in Super Bowl 58. That is the fascinating thing when you study this Chiefs offense, but it also does then lead to some of those numbers. And by the way, to your point about MVS being a big play threat, 25.5 might be the yardage prop. 1.5 is his receptions prop. In the under has a little bit more juice, Kev, than the over.
Yeah, and that's my last year in the AFC Championship game, he went wild. 100-plus yards and a score.
He did nothing in the whole Super Bowl, and that's why I stepped back. Because I was thinking, oh, well, that huge play, maybe – no, Mahomes doesn't care. I'm telling you right now, Mahomes not going to be like, all right, let's dial in. This is my guy. He knows who his two guys are, and then it's if you're open, I'll get you the football. Although I will add this quickly, and this is how I know that I've spent the full season with Joe Lisi. Mm. The guy whose numbers I weighed on the most from this KC core is Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
If he gets activated. Now, to be fair, they really shouldn't activate him. Every time he's out there, it's a disaster. I'm pretty sure, what was he, on Instagram Live complaining during playoff games?
Yeah.
They shouldn't activate him. But again, if they do, like that means that's what, four red zone targets? I mean, that's all I can imagine.
Well, think about it. The two speed guys for that offense are Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman. They both have sprinter speed. If you don't have both of those players out on the perimeter, you lock down Travis Kelce, you lock down Rashee Rice. Now, Rice has speed, don't get me wrong, but we're talking about being able to send multiple layers of players that can run 4-2, 4-3 at that San Francisco defense to run them off to open up Pacheco. That's ultimately what Kansas City wants to do, Kev.
No doubt about it. What we're going to do next, though, is have Ben take us through the historic combination that is Mahomes and Kelce and how it compares to Brock Purdy and the crew.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center here on the FanDuel Sportsbook set inside Radio Row. It is Pro Football Today live out here from Las Vegas. When Super Bowl 58 comes around, it will be the fourth time in the last five NFL seasons that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce have played together in the biggest game of any NFL season. And after this postseason run, three receiving touchdowns in the previous two games for Travis Kelce, the Mahomes to Kelce connection is the most prolific in playoff history. 17 touchdowns between this duo. Nobody has had more in the history of the National Football League in its postseason run. And when you look at Travis Kelce, 11 grabs on 11 targets for 116 yards in the AFC Championship game against the Baltimore Ravens and a touchdown. Meanwhile, he now has 156 playoff grabs in his career. That is the most in playoff history. You can see what Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes have put together throughout this dynastic run for Kansas City. And, oh, by the way, in the previous three Super Bowls for KC, Travis Kelce, a touchdown in two of the three, including against the Philadelphia Eagles to get that offensive momentum started for Kansas City. Meanwhile, we compare that to Brock Purdy on the other side for San Francisco. In his second year, he has played now five postseason games. Only five passing touchdowns in those five games, just a touchdown apiece throughout this playoff run to put San Francisco back into Super Bowl 58. So, Kev, as you compare those two sides, Brock Purdy, what he has done in his young career, to the most prolific playoff connection the sport of football in the National Football League has ever seen, quite a contrast entering Super Bowl 58.
It certainly is, yeah. Joe. There's no other way to slice it. We know for a fact that at any moment there could be trouble, Mahomes will be able to go to Kelce. Brock Purdy's playoff career is significantly shorter and his Super Bowl resume is non-existent until Sunday. Who do you think will be his go-to man in this football game?
I think it'll be two players. I think it'll be George Kittle in regards to the security blanket coming over the middle on short to intermediate throws. And I think it'll be Christian McCaffrey as well. Not in the rushing attack, guys. In the passing game, you look at his number 34 and a half, 35 respectively. McCaffrey could have a huge part of this offense in the short to intermediate passing game, mismatch him on linebackers and nickelbacks. That's the way you open up the bigger plays in terms of this offense. And Debo Samuel as well. You look at Debo as it relates to the rushing attack. They need to get him involved. All the chips are in the middle of the table. Those are the three players I think that matter most to San Francisco, Donnie.
It'll be interesting to see, too, because if you're taking a look at Travis Kelce, look, we know Andy Reid really has to scheme him open because there's not a lot of weapons on the outside. George Kittle gets a little bit of a free ride here. You're talking about a dynamic weapon in Debo Samuel as well as a dynamic weapon on the outside in Brandon Ayuk. So George Kittle over the middle, probably going to do some work this weekend, guys.
I think the McCaffrey number, though, that you mentioned is one that's really caught my eye as this game, you know, we continue to break it down. No McCaffrey number will ever, has ever come cheap. I mean, really, not even when he was in Carolina, but certainly not since he has been a San Francisco 49er. But it is one of those things, sometimes you just feel it. I cannot give you copious amounts of this is what the Chiefs allow and this is what CMC does. I just see a 25-yard reception. Mm-hmm. His longest reception prop is 14.5, Ben, and it's a number that I will likely end up on. Again, I wish I could tell you that Justice Hill smashed it and we saw No, I don't know. The Bills didn't throw the dang ball at James Cook all that much. I still have no idea what the Dolphins. How is Tua going to be their quarterback? But I just, CMC in this game, we know what he can do on the ground.
Yeah.
But what made McCaffrey McCaffrey is the fact that if he wasn't ever allowed to run the ball again, he would still have a decade-long career in this league as a top-level wide receiver.
And you can see the odds expectation for Christian McCaffrey in Super Bowl 58. 90.5 is the rushing yards prop, but as both Joe and Kevin have alluded to, 34.5. The receiving yards number for run CMC. There is an expectation for him to have 129.5. That's the combo prop, rushing plus receiving. And when he's been healthy this year, Donnie, we go back to week 17. That's when the calf injury came up for the first time. If we exclude that game, he's had at least 100 scrimmage yards in every single game for the Niners dating back to the end of October. It is the expectation, but Christian McCaffrey on a regular and weekly basis always reaches that expectation.
Always does, and that's the great part about it. And you know, Kevin and I did many shows together where we're sitting there going last year, like, oh, you know what, let's get a 50-50 backfield together in San Francisco to save McCaffrey. They didn't do that this year. And even to further your point, goes down in that Washington game, there's only two other football games that he completed that he didn't score a touchdown in, and multiple touchdowns it felt like on a week-to-week basis. You saw what he's already done in the playoffs here. This team is going to go as far as Christian McCaffrey takes them. Now granted, there's a lot of weapons out there, but the engine is McCaffrey.
We all know it is. But that is why all of his numbers are as costly as they are.
Yeah.
But to be fair, it is not like they're handing out discount prices on Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. I'm very interested in Brandon Ayuk in this spot here. 6-plus targets in each of the first two postseason games. 3 catches in both of those games. For Ayuk, those are outliers. You go to the regular season, 12 games with 6 or more targets. In 9 of the 12, he cleared this would-be number of 4.5 receptions. And I typically, when I find a best bet, I also, because of you probably, I love to play alts. What I would say is, I'm going over 4.5 receptions, but don't worry about 6-plus, 7-plus, 8-plus catches, because Ayuk is the type of wide receiver, Joe. He catches 7-8 balls. He has 120 yards basically every single time.
Yeah, it's a great point. He has 7 100-yard games. He's a leading wide receiver in regards to that. It's not Deebo Samuel or even George Kittle. George Kittle has stepped up in losses for San Francisco this year, but never in wins in terms of 100-yard performance. There's the opportunity in regards to this ball game. But when you look at Brandon Ayuk, a speedster, big body. We know the range and the catch against Detroit last week stepped up. He is a playmaker. Again, when you want to get your playmakers in one-on-one opportunities in space, he can run great routes, fly patterns, post patterns, Donnie. That's what you want to do as well, which opens up secondary wide receivers underneath.
And it feels like he doesn't get enough shine, right? He's an unbelievable route runner, probably top 5 in the NFL. And you take a look at that offense, the way it operates, where do I always go? Deebo Samuel. I think he's going to have a fantastic Super Bowl. 2 weeks to prepare for him, for Kyle Shanahan to get him involved. You take a look at George Kittle being that safety blanket over the middle. And, of course, it's McCaffrey in the backfield. But we forget about how, like, Ayuk is going to have one-on-one coverage. Now, granted, we know Kansas City's defense is very, very good in the secondary. But we're also talking about Kyle Shanahan saying, you know what? Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's set a play up or two. That double move is going to be deadly in the Super Bowl. And those yards, Kevin, might be cheap here.
But look, and just to mention it, Zay Flowers abused them. I mean, he had one of the wildest games I've ever seen from an NFL player. I mean, that drive is marvelous. A 50-yard catch, probably should have scored. I don't know what he was doing. Gets 15 tacked on for a taunting penalty. I don't think that taunting penalty should exist. But since they do, the easiest one maybe I've ever seen called in my entire life. Then just comes back for another top 20-yard reception. The only thing they say is, hey, just don't extend the ball over the goal line. It usually leads to trouble. Yeah, I mean, what but he still had 5 for $1.15 yeah. and should have probably put a touchdown in the end zone if he. It's just one of those things. For so long, the number one wide receivers could not get loose against this team. I will admit, though, my worry point is now that Debo is fully healthy, Ben.
Correct.
I'm not betting the number one wide receiver.
And that is the super interesting thing when you compare the props for Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk DRS for this Super Bowl. Because entering the NFC Championship game, listed as questionable, was Debo Samuel. 50-50 was the report on Samuel earlier in the week. His receiving yards prop, when it finally came up entering Conference Championship weekend, 47.5 was that number. Meanwhile, Brandon Ayuk against the atrocious Detroit secondary had an 80.5 receiving yards prop. It was Debo Samuel that was the leading receiver for Brock Purdy and San Francisco in that NFC Championship game. 8 grabs on 9 targets for more than 80 yards. I know that Debo Samuel is my look for Super Bowl Sunday for this San Francisco offense, and mainly over the receptions prop of 4.5. I would love a total touches over under for both Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. No rushing attempts props listed for Debo Samuel just yet, but the last time San Francisco played Kansas City on a Super Bowl Sunday, 3 carries for 53 yards on the ground. I think he is going to be, Kev, a central focus of this San Francisco offense come Sunday.
I mean, he is, and we know he is. I mean, look, we've talked injuries in this league are always very interesting to try and figure out what a guy is going to be able to do. I think sometimes, though, and I will use Donnie as our resident analyst, our athlete on this show, but you get out there. And so, I don't know, man. I've been healthy. I don't know what anyone's taught. I cannot believe this guy was a legit 50-50.
Yeah.
We do not know if he will play in the NFC title game. Like, if that was a Week 16 game, he doesn't even play in the game.
No.
90 receiving yards almost. And the goal line carry, Donnie, is the play I can't get out of my mind.
Exactly. And also, go back to Ben's point where with the usage rate here, we talk about rushing and receiving, but also the rocket screens, the shovel passes. They add up in pass receptions and getting them those yards here. Yeah. But also, you're right about the injury, which was so interesting. Debo's one of the toughest players in the NFL. I think we can all agree upon that.
Yeah.
He can be a starting tailback, a starting tight end, a wide. You can do whatever you want. He leaves that football game and gets the harness. So I say to myself, if Debo has to leave this football game and can't come back, and then you're telling me he could be doubtful to probable the next week, depending on if he practices. I'm like, there's no way he's playing next week. Like, Debo would have played that game all the way through against the Green Bay Packers, and he shows up, and you see him hyping up the crowd. I was like, you know what? It's go time here. You got a discount, and away we went. It's almost like he didn't even have the injury when we were talking about, you know, Dr. Chow was on with us a few times. Look, if that's the same injury, that's a 3-week injury. He comes right back the next week.
You know what was so interesting entering that conference championship Sunday, too, when Debo Samuel finally met with the media, and he was like, yeah, I'm playing in this football game.
Yep.
And they asked him, are you going to protect that shoulder? Might you step out of bounds early?
Yeah.
And he goes, I am protecting anything when a conference championship is on the line. So I think, Lisi, when you look at those props, 57.5 for Debo Samuel, into the low 60s for Brandon Ayuk, who do you expect Brock Purdy's favorite target to be outside of Christian McCaffrey if they're going to push the ball vertically down the field?
Well, I think it's Kittle in terms of receptions. It could be Ayuk in terms of yards, because I think they're going to utilize Debo Samuel in regards to the rushing game. We talk about the 3 rushes, 7 yards last week because of the shoulder, limited opportunities. Now, in terms of the Super Bowl, an extra week of preparation, I think they get Debo out in terms of the fly sweeps, give him the opportunity in terms of the rushing attack. He has juicy numbers. So, again, does he get to that 4.5, 5 receptions? Potentially, but the yards have to be there as well. I think San Francisco, for me, attacks Kansas City over the top. I think they do it with the passing attack, and then they open up the rushing lanes with McCaffrey and Debo later in this ballgame.
What can be stressful, so if you bet his rushing plus receiving, but if you pick one, is you will watch these Debo plays, you go, is that a pass or is that a
yard? I knew where this was going here. You talk about one of those laterals that you run right to check to see what that is and gets the difference. That's the difference between catching a ticket and not. So, the lateral for 22 yards and not a pass.
Those swing passes.
Oh, boy.
Where he sometimes is an extra yard deep.
Correct.
And they go, wow, I just broke out a 25-yard run. Like, that was my long reception. What are you talking about here? Those are my Brock Purdy yards.
Yeah.
But sometimes it goes the other way, where you're sitting there, you're like, look, man, I just need 2 more rushing yards. Just get him the football. And they're like, nope, great screen pass. That's not a screen.
Yeah. I love on the broadcast when you're slightly away or you're slightly distracted and you hear McCaffrey, Samuel. And you're like, okay, what was that, though? Was it a run? Was it a pass? What happened? And then you look. look for your prop.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think this game may be 6-7. Jet, yeah. But not sweeps. Jet pop passes, well, I think.
Pour the milk. Pour the milk.
Is a low number.
Yeah, it certainly is. We'll dive in a little bit more to George Kittle as we close out our opening hour of Pro Football Today on a Tuesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid, talking about the San Francisco 49ers and their array of weapons that which potentially the Super Bowl MVP Brock Purdy could find. I mean, can I hold out hope for the regular season MVP? Maybe some voters get this thing right.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, but we didn't spend enough time talking about George Kittle. You know, we put a lot of the position groups, we always do in a Super Bowl, side by side, and there's always advantages, right? Quarterback, okay, obviously Chiefs. Running back, with respect to Pacheco, it's McCaffrey, the wide receiver. But these tight ends, as great as Travis is, George Kittle is as good as any in this league, Ben. And Kittle, man, I saw that clip, and I'm such a sucker, of him at the end of their loss to KC saying, like, I will be back here. Will be back here. And he is back here against the same team.
And Travis Kelce paid his respect, and rightfully so, to the true tight end university in the National Football League, and that is the Iowa Hawkeyes, where George Kittle hails from. Brock Purdy, his quarterback, Iowa State. That Cy-Hawk connection. Throughout their time in the regular season, 13 touchdowns between those two in the 22 regular season games. That Purdy.
You can't handle the shimmy. It's a little cold, brother. I mean, that was a cold day out of you.
Purdy and Kittle have played together, but Donnie, only one passing touchdown between those two in postseason action.
Yeah, big play tight end, though, nonetheless, and that's what you look for. I think 47.5 is his number in this game. That could be two catches. We've seen that explosive play, and he is going to be dynamic, I believe, over the middle, short passes, turn it upfield.
Plus 170 to find the end zone, Joe Lisi. Can George Kittle find Pater, that Cy-Hawk connection paying off again?
Not a bad look. 9 receptions, 90 yards in back-to-back games combined. He's due to break out. Plus 170, good look.
I'd like to spend a little more time breaking down the shimmy. It was a little involuntary shake.
I mean, I thought he did it on purpose. Wow. No, I thought that was on purpose.
I mean,
that's a Super Bowl shimmy.
He brought up Iowa.
Some people used to do shimmies.
I sent chills down my spine thinking about that awful offense. We are taking a break, though, but we are back in less than a minute. Let's talk some side and total for Super Bowl 58. Long time ago.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.